Let us pray. O God, who did wonderfully create and yet more wonderfully restore the dignity of human nature, grant that we may share the divine life of Him who humbled Himself to share our humanity, Your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with You in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. The older that I get, the more I find myself losing things. I frequently am misplacing my car keys. I can never quite seem to find my cell phone when I'm leaving home, and it freaks me out every single time. And recently, I had this terrifying experience with my wallet falling out at a restaurant the day before Thanksgiving. And there's nothing quite like being in anguish for a whole day, waiting to see if everything is still in there because the restaurant was closed. So yes, I lose things. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you've lost something. But have you ever lost a person before? Have you ever lost a person before? Quite possibly in a very crowded place like a shopping mall or a museum or a sports arena. Perhaps you didn't even have to walk out your front door to lose someone. Perhaps you couldn't find someone in your very own house. If so, I'm right there with you. Imagine looking for your child and not being able to find them. You start to panic. One parent goes out the front door calling his name. The other parent goes out the back door doing the same thing. All the while, the child is right in plain sight, blending in with your furniture because of his clothes, staying quite quiet with a big old grin on his face. When you seek for something you've lost, there oftentimes is great anguish. When you seek for someone who's missing, there's even more. So let me tell you about this one time when Mary and Joseph lose Jesus. To me, it's always felt like a random story between Jesus' birth and the start of his ministry, but it's not random at all, actually. It goes to the heart of the story that Luke is telling. Mary and Joseph had to go searching for the Jesus they had lost. But when they found him, they discovered something altogether new about him. And before the end of Luke's gospel, another couple would go through the same thing. Before the end, two disciples will think that they've lost Jesus. And they will be in anguish because of it. But they will find him, and when they do, they will learn something completely new and fresh about him. They will see him in a way they've never seen him before. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Luke chapter 2, verse 41, found on page 615. I'll never forget the time my mom told me the story about misplacing me. She had come out of the grocery store with my two older brothers, and when she got to the car, she put me up on the top while she loaded up the groceries and made sure my brothers were situated. She opened up the driver's side door, got into the front seat, put the key into the ignition, and turned it. The engine was humming. But she had this strange feeling that she was missing something. And then it hit her. Where's Scott? Where's Scott? Where is he? She looked back in the car. She looked at where she had left the shopping cart. Then suddenly she realized he's on top of the car. She related to me the anguish and the guilt that she felt about that. I was just happy she didn't pull away and be on the top. For Mary and Joseph's part, I can imagine the anguish and the guilt that they felt. Now, there are some interesting things about this story that I think we should be aware of. One is that Jesus was brought up in a family that had rhythms of life. And what exactly am I talking about here? Well, Luke makes it abundantly clear that the Holy Family traveled to Jerusalem every year. And in first century Palestine, that was a difficult passage to make. But the Holy Family was extremely pious, which is something oftentimes overlooked or unnoticed entirely. Secondly, we have to figure out why it took so long for Mary and Joseph to know that Jesus was not with them. The simplest and easiest way to explain this is that our culture is not like theirs at all, right? It's not. Whereas we Westerners tend to emphasize nuclear families, although that is even disintegrating nowadays, Jesus' culture was all about extended families. You begin to pick up on this if you slow down and look at the text. So Jesus grew up with the rhythm of going to Jerusalem every year, and he went not just with Mary and Joseph, but with other relatives and friends. So now let's begin our story, because it's a fascinating one. The celebration festivities of Passover are done with. Now the road lies before the Holy Family to travel back to Nazareth. Mary and Joseph head out, trusting that Jesus is with the people that they know so well. This showed a great amount of trust in their extended family. But Jesus stayed behind in the holy city of Jerusalem. The day passes, but they figure he's with the other travelers. But when night comes, they start going out looking for him. Here's where their anguish begins. "Have you seen Jesus?" they ask to their family and friends. "No. Come to think of it, I haven't seen him all day." And they make their way through. "Have you seen Jesus?" "No." "Have you seen Jesus?" "No." On and on through everyone. They know, going back home to Nazareth, "No Jesus. No Jesus." Their guilt grows with their anguish. They go back to Jerusalem, this time without their family, this time without their friends. 3 days they look and they cannot find him. 3 miserable days. 3 days of uncertainty. 3 days of panic. And on the third day, they find him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Luke tells us all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And so Mary and Joseph walk into this context. They don't know what to think. I know that they're relieved that they finally found him, but now they see him in a way they've never seen him before. And so Mary asks, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching everywhere for you." And what is Jesus' response? Remember, he's 12 here. What is his response? It's not some snotty comeback. It's not defiant rant. It's simply a calm response. "Why did you need to search? Why did you need to search? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's work?" Now, in some translations say, "in my Father's house," but that's not completely the big picture or idea here. It's more like "my Father's affairs" or "my Father's business." And the reason for this is because for Luke, as well as other New Testament writers, Jesus is the temple himself, the Word of God made flesh, what we've been talking about through this season of Christmas. The temple is not some building of wood and stone, it's Jesus himself. And this will make more sense when we connect the two stories together. But when Jesus responds to Mary, she and Joseph don't understand what he's saying. But he does return with them to Nazareth. And I love this next bit that Luke throws in here. He says he was obedient to his parents. He was obedient, just kind of throwaway line. Why is this in here? Well, Jesus, who was both greater than Mary and Joseph, gave them honor even though they were both in fact subject to him. The church father Origen comments, "Joseph knew that the one subject to him was greater than he. So each one should realize that often a lesser man is put in charge of better men." And Luke tells us Mary pondered these things in her heart. I like to imagine on the way back to Nazareth, she did quite a bit of pondering. Not just on the recent episode of her and Joseph looking for Jesus for 3 days, baffling the professionals, but also their flight into Egypt to escape Herod's wrath. The visit of the Magi, something we'll celebrate in a couple of days. You know, the wise men, the nativity sets get it all wrong. Jesus was about 2 years of age when they come. And so just imagine a 2-year-old Jesus walking and bumbling around, and these guys come and they give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I imagine, in my mind, Jesus looking at these gifts and then looking at his parents saying, "What's this?" We oftentimes don't think about when the Magi come. This is a toddler here. This is not some baby in a manger. So it's kind of cool. I think Mary on the way back would have pondered some of this stuff. And I think she would have gone even further back. I think she would have thought about giving birth in a stable, being rejected at the inn, traveling to Bethlehem when she was very big with child on a donkey. But most importantly, I think she would go back all the way to the announcement by Gabriel. You, a virgin, will bear the Son of God Most High. So I bet on the way back to Nazareth from Jerusalem, she pondered a great deal in her heart. She had seen Jesus in a light that she had not seen before. Well, now let's forward to the end of Luke's Gospel. Let's see how these two stories connect. We find ourselves on the road as well, the Emmaus Road. And at this point in the story, Jesus has been crucified. He was dead. He was buried. He rose again. And this is one of those amazing resurrection stories, but it's also a story of catechesis, of instruction. You see, like Mary and Joseph looking for Jesus in great anguish, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road share their anguish over the 3 days since Jesus' death. Like Mary and Joseph, they too are coming back, and Jesus explains to them how the Messiah had to suffer and how it was quite necessary for all the things that had happened the last couple of days to happen. It was quite necessary for the Messiah to be about his Father's affairs, his Father's business. And so these two disciples end up finding the Jesus they had lost in the breaking of the bread. And then everything he has been saying on the road becomes suddenly clear. They had seen Jesus in a way they had never seen him before. But what a surprise it was to find him. These two disciples on the Emmaus Road found him at table. Jesus certainly didn't just tell the two of them why he was on the road. He opened the scriptures to them. He shared a meal with them. In other words, there was a searching, there was a seeking, there was a process going on. And then the new sight, then the new revelation came to them. There's something here for us. A profound piece of spiritual wisdom when we connect these two stories together. In seeking for the Jesus they had lost, they discover something altogether new about him. Of course, this applies to us, and I will try to unpack it in a way that is clear. There is always a temptation to say that we know Jesus. Nothing more to learn or see here. That we understand him. We know what he's about and what he's up to. And thus we take him for granted. And just when we think these things, just when we think we have him figured out, something out of the blue happens. Something unexpected goes down. And there are times in our walk with Christ. And I love this imagery of the road here in both these stories, because discipleship, walking with Christ, is a journey. And there are some times in our walk with Christ where it seems his presence is far from us. We cry out, "Where are you, Lord? I cannot feel your presence." What are we to do in those times? These dark nights of the soul. We are to seek after him. We are to pursue him in great need. But how? By reading and hearing the Word of God in Holy Scripture. This is one of the things that I love about the way that we worship, because we actually do hear the Word together. Even though the Bible is the most printed book, you know, it's obviously not the most read. But we can also pursue Jesus by seeking him in prayer and fasting, drawing close to him. And of course, in the very sacraments themselves, in the water and the oil of holy baptism, and the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. And when we seek after him, when we are in anguish to find him, when we know that we are in great need to be with him, we will discover something altogether new about him. We will see him in another light, from another angle, and we will grow in more intimacy with him. Him who died and rose again and was about his Father's work and affairs. And it will be quite a surprise when we find out what is new. With Jesus, because we have union with Him, it doesn't just remain my Father's work or my Father's affairs, but rather our Father's work and affairs. And so the work of the Father continues in us. As the Father has sent me, so I send you, Jesus says to His followers after He is raised. The temple of the living God was raised. And now we are connected to Him and are living stones. It's beautiful. But if you're anything like me, why is this passage given to us during Christmas of Jesus in the temple? It first seemed to me that it would make more sense during the season of Epiphany, which is about to begin, which is that wonderful season of revelation and the manifestation of Christ's glory. But it dawned on me that perhaps the reason why we are given this passage at this time is because as we celebrate the arrival of Jesus coming into our world during Christmastide, we think we finally have Him. We think we finally have Him. We do receive Him. Make no mistake. But the road of discipleship is always about discovering and finding and seeking and learning. It's always about further up and further in regards to our relationship with Him and our knowledge of Him and our union with Him. Of detecting something about Him that we've never noticed before, that we've never seen before. And not just that, but it's also being about brought into our Father's work and affairs. So maybe this morning you can't feel the presence of Christ. Maybe you think God is far off and distant. Have you been searching after Him? Have you been running after Him in great anguish, in great need? Still, maybe some of you think you've got Christ all figured out, and you think you've got Him down flat. Well, let me remind you what C.S. Lewis said. He's not a tame lion. Get ready for a surprise. He might reveal Himself in an astonishing way to you, in a powerful way to you, in a way that you've never seen Him before or experienced Him before. Be up for something unexpected, to see Him in the way that you need to see Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You during this Christmastide for sending Your Son into the world so that we might become Your sons and daughters. Grant through the power of Your Holy Spirit that we may evermore pursue Him who came after us and gave His all for our sake. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.